today is the last day that we're going to be in the blueprint phase of our building project, our kingdom building project. Next week, we're going to start on this foundation. You know, a building's only as strong as the foundation that it sits on, and it has to be firm enough to withstand the testing of time. And the foundation of the kingdom of God is made strong through the unity and the commitment of believers. It's made stronger as we believe, as we grow, and as we work together. So during the foundation part of our series, we're going to be talking about the purpose behind being baptized, why we take communion together, the meaning behind praise and worship, and the power of prayer. So I'm really excited to get into those, but don't blank out on me today, because this is a very important message here today too. Because I kind of want to sum up all of the blueprint messages today to show how they all work together to kind of lead to the same story. So today we're learning about Sabbath. And while I'm talking, I want you guys to listen for the other themes that we have been learning about in the blueprint part of this series. So far, just a little refresher. We've talked about the gospel. We've talked about the presence of God. We've talked about the law. And we've talked about the exile. So I'm kind of a visual person. Are you guys visual people? So I kind of put together a little bit of a graphic here to kind of illustrate how these things kind of work together to lead to today's message. So first of all, we started with the gospel. We started at the center of the story with Jesus, how Jesus is the hope and salvation. And then we moved out to learn about how the Holy Spirit empowers, encourages, and equips us to live like Jesus. And then we learned about how God provided the law for the preservation and instruction to his chosen people, the Israelites, so that they could be a blessing to all other nations. And then last week we looked at the human condition of living as an exile. It was once a punishment for not obeying God's law, but now it's a consequence of having his law written on our hearts. You know, as God's children, we are citizens of heaven, and so we live as exiles in this world. And so today we're going to be looking at how the hope of Sabbath rest, it represents the reconciliation between God and all of humanity. So what I wanted to point out here, and let me get that graphic back. What I wanted to point out here is how each of these themes kind of point toward a member of the Trinity or humanity. So the gospel is the story of Jesus. The presence is Holy Spirit. Law is from God. The exile, it's the condition of humanity. And then the Sabbath is the reconciliation of humanity with the Trinity. See how that works? You guys have that visual now, sort of? I thought about doing like a... Yeah, I'll post it too. So she's like trying to take pictures over here. Okay. So what is a Sabbath? You know, we usually talk about Sabbath as a time of rest. And rest, it's a physical necessity for all living creatures. Our bodies require the rejuvenation of sleep and times of just slowing down to sustain us through our days. We long for breaks from our regular routines and vacations and hope that they will refresh us. There's a lot of people seeking refreshment today, right? So last week, we were able to get away for a little vacation, my family. And I had been looking forward to it for a long time because you always kind of get this idea in your head of vacation. Like, we're going to rest and we're going to like come back and we're going to have this new energy. And it's going to be awesome. Y'all, that's not vacation with kids. So we had a fantastic time. We loved every minute of it, almost. And we did a lot of things. But let me see, by, what was it, Tuesday? This whole thing started on Monday for us. By Tuesday, me and Matt were just like, we're dying. Like, I don't know if we can do this. We went to this one place where it's like 10 stories of climbing. Like slides and climbing. It was awesome. We were so sore. And then the next day we went to the zoo. And stuff, we walked over 8 miles that day. That is not typical for us. we are, I know like some people, like that's just a morning jog. Not for us. So we came home, we were tired, we were worn, just slick out, sore, like my knees are still like crackling a little bit. You know, often the things that we think are going to provide us with the rest or rejuvenation that we are longing for, it doesn't exactly work out how we would expect, right? The biblical concept of Sabbath is typically seen to be a regular pattern of rest that is synonymous with setting aside Saturday or Sunday to attend a worship service. Typically, when you hear somebody say, like, I'm going to honor the Sabbath, they're talking about, like, taking a day, going to church or a service or just resting. But it goes much deeper than that. So to kind of get an idea of what the biblical idea of Sabbath is, we've got to look at the original language it was written in, Hebrew. And there's two Hebrew words that we translate in English to the word Sabbath. And by looking at these two words, it kind of gives us a little bit of a compound definition of what Sabbath is. So we're going to kind of trace that through the biblical story. So while these hold different meanings, they're intentionally used in a way that gives us this definition, this understanding. So the first word is sabbat. And it's used to indicate that work has been completed or has stopped. Simply defined, it's an end to all work. It's what God did on the seventh day in Genesis 2. When the work was finished, God rested. The other word, is nuach, and it means to dwell or settle. When God or the people nuach, it involves settling into a place that is safe, secure, and stable. So an example of this is when King David came to dwell or to nuach in his house, it was because God had provided him rest from his enemies. It was a place of peace. So we see the word nuach being used there. With this in mind, Sabbath occurs not only when the work ceases, but when there is security in God's presence. So Sabbath is meant to be a time of restoration and peace with God, each other, and the rest of creation. So both Sabbat and Nuach are translated into the English word Sabbath. So we have to look at the way that both of those Hebrew words were used in order to really understand what God meant when he said Sabbath. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth and all that existed within it. And then on the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested. Exactly. He rested. So it was Sabbat. The work was finished, so he ceased working. And then Nuach was, he settled. His spirit settled. So if we look at Genesis 2:2-3, it says, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested, Sabbat, from his work. And then it goes on to say that instead of simply resting, he blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Because on it he rested, Nuach, from all the work of creating that he had done. So he used what we translate to Sabbath or rest. He used that to say that the work had ceased and that his presence had rested, has settled there. The day of rest was made holy because it marked both the resting from work and the resting of God's presence among his creation. And then God invites man to participate in the Sabbath with him. But it's not how we usually understand it. See, Adam is placed in the garden so that he can engage with God's creation and he can cultivate it. That was the purpose of humanity, right? Was to create and cultivate as co-creators with God. We were entrusted with God's creation. It says in Genesis 2:15, the Lord took the man and he put them in the Garden of Eden to work and to take care of it. So the Hebrew word here that God put him in the garden, he rested him in the garden, is nuach. God rests Adam in the garden so that he can work in it. And it implies that the biblical definition of Sabbath involves work. See, prior to the fall of man, work was not the same back-breaking and draining experience that we know it as today. Work in the Garden of Eden was a fulfillment of man's created purpose, and it was done in communion with God. Sounds nice. So now the question is, how can humanity reconcile their broken relationship with God that resulted from the fall in order to participate in God's definition of Sabbath as it was in the Garden of Eden? So we can't talk about God's plan for universal reconciliation with humanity without tracing it through the five main covenants that he established with humanity. And if you're unfamiliar with what the covenants are, I'm going to post an article this week that kind of sums it up. But also go back and listen to the series that we did last fall called The Unfinished Story, where we took those and we kind of walked through each one. But for today, you just need to know that the Old Testament covenants were established with these four people: Noah, Abraham, Moses, and David. And then the new covenant was established by Jesus. And that's the covenant that we live under today. So God's plan for universal reconciliation after the fall is initiated through his covenant with Noah. And it can't be overlooked that Noah's name means rest. It's derived from the Hebrew word nuach. His father Lamech named him Noah, and he said in Genesis 5:29, "He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." The dude was named Rest. His dad did it on purpose, because he's saying that he's going to give us the comfort. He's going to provide us that rest. And it is through a man named Rest that God preserved his creation with a covenant promise of hope for a future when God and humanity would be reconciled. And this hope is continued through God's covenant promise to Abraham. So his family grows into a great nation, and because they are not faithful to keep that covenant, God allows them to become exiled as slaves in Egypt. You know, being forced to work as a slave is the very opposite of Sabbath. It's not really restful. Their status as exiles and painful labor, it reflected the curse that was spoken to Adam and Eve after the fall. But still, they're not forgotten by God, because he is faithful to his promises. He commissioned and empowered Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt and into the promised land, and the place of rest where the presence of God will dwell with them. Along the journey, God provides them with food and water. He gives them the opportunity to build a habit of Sabbath while still in the wilderness. Don't miss that. It's possible to experience Sabbath rest while you're still in the wilderness. The first mention of Sabbath was when God gave his instruction to Moses on how they are to gather, prepare, and eat the manna and quail that God provided to them in Exodus 16. I think I've told you guys before, read Exodus 16. It's pretty cool. It's just a cool chapter. So they were told to gather each day what was needed, no more, no less, except on the sixth day, they were supposed to gather enough for 2 days. God provided enough food for both days. The Sabbath was the seventh day, and that Sabbath was given to them as a gift from God for their rest. And he provided for their needs through it. See, he is building in them the pattern of work and rest that imitates his own pattern that he set during creation. During the creation narrative, work for 6 days, rest on the seventh. This pattern is revealed again by God in the Ten Commandments that he gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. He said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. See, the seventh day is blessed and holy. It marks the completion of his good work. It's a tradition. It's a reminder. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this to remember creation. And as his chosen people, they're required to observe the Sabbath in order to follow the example of God and to bear his image. Simply put, Sabbath observance is the imitation of God. See, this is a sign that was given for the Mosaic covenant between God and the nation of Israel. And it was meant to set them apart from the other nations. Sabbath observance is as much about righteousness as it is about rest. Let that one sink in for a minute. It's as much about righteousness as it is about rest. The Sabbath and its prescribed rhythm of rest for the Israelites does not continue on without failure, though, because they're people. Over time, they began to worship other gods and rebel against God's purpose for them. Yet God's rest, his nuach, he nuachs his presence with them. First in the tabernacle, we read about that in Exodus 40. And then again in the temple that we read about in 1 Kings 8. So last week, we kind of covered that just a little bit. And we talked about how the Israelites ended up in exile. But see, God warned them in 1 Kings 9, 6 and 7. He said, if you or your descendants turn away from me and do not observe the commands and decrees I have given you and go off and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. He warned them. And the warning is ignored. And God allows them to be divided into two kingdoms and then overtaken by Babylon and sent off as exiles. And this period of exile between the reign of David and the coming of Jesus, it provides for this rich dialogue that we get to read by God's prophets. You know, the prophets, they were sent to both encourage and condemn, convict the Israelites. One of the prophets is Isaiah, and he spoke about how Sabbath observances show solidarity with God, with God's justice, with his salvation, and with his righteousness. He speaks of a future hope of restoration that would come from the line of Jesse. Who is Jesse? King David's father. So from the line of David, King David. So somewhere along his line, there's going to be a king that's going to sit on an eternal throne and build an eternal kingdom that man cannot tear down. Go back and listen to the Covenant series to find out a little bit more about that. But Isaiah declared that the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. His nuach place will be glorious. In Isaiah 61, we read about that the promised glorious nuach will come through a person who will announce the good news, the gospel. For the poor and the afflicted, they would bind up the brokenhearted. He'd proclaim the release of the captives and declare that the year of God's favor and the day of his vengeance. The coming of the prophesied anointed one provides hope of rescue and a future Sabbath rest for not only Israel, but for all other nations. See, up until now, Sabbath was something that was for the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. But now Isaiah is like, yeah, but that Sabbath rest that was prescribed to them is now going to be available for everyone. See how things are kind of shifting a little bit? The Old Testament ends without this promise having been fulfilled, but the New Testament starts with the birth of a baby named Jesus. And in the book of Luke, we can read about how Jesus, when Jesus launched his public ministry on the Sabbath day in his hometown of Nazareth. See, they would get together on the Sabbath, and the men would read the scrolls, the Old Testament scrolls, or the Hebrew scripture. And so he was handed the scroll of Isaiah. And he found where the coming of the anointed Savior was written. You know, where we just read about. And he read it out loud. And when he finished, he declared to them all, "Today this scripture is being fulfilled in your hearing." With this announcement, Jesus was claiming that the ultimate seventh day rest, or the Sabbath, would come through him. Things are changing. You know, like many of the laws that were given to Moses by God, the ones concerning the Sabbath, they had become more about like an outward legalism than an inward devotion. And Jesus sparked controversy among Jewish leaders because of the way that he honored the Sabbath, the way that he talked about Sabbath, the way that he worked on the Sabbath. He performed miracles. He instructed his disciples to gather grain to eat. It's really interesting when you read through the Gospels with the idea of Sabbath in mind, how you see Jesus handling the concept of Sabbath. In the Gospel of Matthew, there's several examples of Jesus ministering on the Sabbath despite the condemnation of Jewish leaders. However, Jesus' actions are not in opposition to the law. He's simply reminding them of what the Sabbath practice was originally intended to be. See, prior to these controversies, because there's constant bickering in the Gospels between Jesus and the Jewish leaders, they're always trying to trip him up, and he always has these perfect answers. Who'd have thought? But prior to this, before all this controversy started, and really the way that he handled Sabbath was one of the main reasons why they executed him, Jesus issued an open invitation, and he said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He is saying that I am the physical embodiment of God's presence that has come to rest, or nuach, among humanity. He was inviting them into a relationship with him so they could experience the Eden-like Sabbath rest that they so desperately wanted. See, Jesus wasn't attempting to do away with the concept of Sabbath. He was showing them God's intention for Sabbath was about inward peace, not outward legalism. It was supposed to point to him. That's the point. He was the one that was promised through all of Israel's prophets. He was the one that Isaiah talked about. He was the one who could restore the rhythm of creation, the flow of creation. Because of Jesus, we can experience partial rest in the present, but it's only a foreshadowing of the ultimate Eden-like Sabbath rest that is still to come. Throughout the entire biblical narrative, the purpose of observing the Sabbath is to set time aside from the regular routine of work in order to be restfully present in honor of God. And at the center of that story is Jesus. All of the hope of the Old Testament points forward to his coming. And all of the hope in the New Testament for a present and future Sabbath has Jesus as its foundation. He redefined the purpose of Sabbath from being an outwardly practiced legalistic ritual to being an inward devotion to a constant relationship with God. Not a once a week relationship with God. A constant relationship with God. So what should Sabbath mean to us today? We're not Jewish. What does it mean for us today? We don't follow the Old Testament laws. How can we take part in the Sabbath rest that Jesus made possible for all of us? See, he broke down that barrier. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. We all have access to that Sabbath rest through Jesus. But I can tell you right now, it has nothing to do with attending a church service on Sunday morning or taking a day off work to do nothing. You know, you don't have to be in church to spend time with God. And in fact, if that's the only time that you set aside to devote to God, then I'm sure that there is a lack of rest and peace in your life. Church is about setting aside time to come together with other believers to intentionally worship, experience, and learn about God together. It's not meant to serve as your only point of contact with God. So taking part in God's Sabbath means learning to be restfully present with him throughout our entire life. Because of the sacrificial love of Jesus, God has written his law on our hearts and has filled us with his Spirit so that we can experience a glimpse of the Sabbath rest that is to come as we live as exiles in this broken world. I'm going to read that one more time because I want to make sure that everyone's catching this. The blueprint is summed up here. The gospel, the law, the presence, the exile, and the Sabbath. Because of the sacrificial love of Jesus, God has written his law on our hearts and has filled us with his Spirit so that we can experience a glimpse of the Sabbath rest that is to come as we live as exiles in this world. We're going to do one more song today. And while we do this, I want you guys to take time to think not just about how you spend your time, but about what controls your thoughts and your heart. When was the last time that you felt fully rested? When was the last time that you didn't just get enough sleep, but your soul felt at peace? How much room have you made for God in your life? Is your mind constantly overrun with worry and doubt and fear? Does your heart pound from the stress of your life? Have you tried surrendering it to God? Now, don't misunderstand me here. Because I'm not saying that it's a lack of faith to seek out counseling or even take medication if you need it for your mental health. Depression and anxiety are very real things. And it often requires us to seek out additional help of professionals that are trained and educated to help us. Where do you think that knowledge came from? But even with medication and counseling, there is still a need to learn to lean on that healing and that hope that can only be provided by Jesus. So during this song, surrender it all to God. And it doesn't mean that the circumstances are magically going to just change, but God can sustain you through it. There's a quote of, I can't place it, I don't know if it's a song or a poem or just a quote or something, but I'm sure you guys have heard it before. Sometimes he calms the storm and sometimes he calms his child. See, God can help you through it if you're willing to let it go to him. And you're not alone. We're here together. We're in this together. We're family. If you need prayer, please ask your neighbor to pray with you. If you don't have a neighbor sitting next to you today, raise your hand. Wave somebody down. And someone will come pray with you. Because we're in this together. You know, Jesus, he said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take his yoke. What is his yoke? He is gentle and humble in heart. He's inviting us to learn from him, to become gentle and humble in heart, and then we will find rest for our souls. And he goes on and says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We can experience Sabbath rest when we come to Jesus, lay down our burdens, and we make room for him to work in our lives.